Hey, I want to share with you this morning this concept of what do you do when you don't know what to do? Have you ever been there? You ever been where, okay, I just don't know what to do. We're in a mess. I don't know what to do. I mean, I've been there where you just think to yourself, wait a minute, the universe has conspired against me and I don't know what to do. I mean, there have been times that all of us have been, we don't know what to do. We have a spouse that is ill. We have parents that are ill. We're trying to care for aging parents, or our teenager's gone off the rails, or we always have something. I lost my job. Our income is not enough. We're filing bankruptcy. Divorce has come to my family. We got a lot of things. When we just don't know what to do. What do you do when you don't know what to do? And what I found is most of us, we try to do what we can or what we think we should do. I don't think there's a shortage of folks that know what to do. As a matter of fact, every time I find myself in a mess, there are plenty of people to tell me what I ought to do. Have you noticed that the world is full of people that can tell you what's wrong, but very few people can give you a solution for what's wrong? If you watch the news, you know what you hear? I mean, the end of the world is coming, and it's all blamed on some group of people. You watch another station, and it's all blamed on somebody else. I've learned this to be true, that the further away you are from the problem, the more simplistic the solution is. And the closer you get to the problem, the more detailed and the more difficult the solution is. Like, it's easy to say, you know what we ought to do? We ought to just go over to North Korea and nuke them, be done. Well, now from a distance, you might say, well, that's simple enough. But you get up close and you say, well, what about those missionaries that are in there illegally? What about trying to hand those Bibles out? What about those missionary couples that are trying to teach those young children? Now all of a sudden, the closer we get, the more difficult the decision and the solution is. Well, in our life, from a distance, anybody can tell you, well, I'll tell you what you ought to do. Now, as a pastor, you hear a lot of that. There are a lot of people that tell me, I've got a plan for your life, Chuck, and here's what I need you to do. Well, in the text today, in 2 Kings and in chapter 4, we hear a story about a woman who didn't know what to do. She found herself where she didn't know where she could turn or what she could do. This lady was in a mess. Take a look at verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So here's what we know. The prophet of God, the man of God, Elisha, is there. And she determines that she doesn't have any other option, so she goes to hear of the word of the man of God. And the man of God asks her a question, and he's getting in this position where he's trying to figure out, how can I help you? And what we know is this woman's husband has died. I mean, he is dead as a doornail, gone. But what she's saying about her husband is this: my husband feared the Lord. Now, oftentimes when we hear that term fear, we think of it in the terms of, I'm supposed to be scared to death. But literally, if you were to translate that and you were to look at it, what it truly means is, my husband never stopped being in awe of our great God. He was never short of being awed of our great God. He saw the wonder and the goodness of God. And so Elisha's hearing about this man who is faithful. The challenge was, he's now dead and gone. He's left his wife and his two boys in debt, and she has no way and nothing to pay that debt with. So legally in that time, she could, or she would have to, surrender her sons to be sold into slave trade to help pay for her debt. And so when she says the creditor is coming, she's saying he's coming to repossess my boys. He's coming to take away the last thing that I'm holding on to. I've lost my husband. I've lost everything I own. I have nothing left but my two boys. But because of this, he's coming to take them. I would say she has a desperate situation, wouldn't you? She found herself in a desperate situation. Some of you sitting here today find yourself in desperate situations. I don't know what to do with my child. I don't know how to care for my aging parents. I don't know what to do with this debt. I don't know what to do because I lost my job. I don't know what to do because the doctor said you have cancer. We don't often know what to do. But this woman, like many of us, had a desperate situation. But watch this. This is what happens in verse 2. So Elisha said to her, "What should I do for you?" Isn't that a beautiful question? What should I do for you? Now, let me just stop and say, I believe that as Christians, as followers of Jesus, I believe often we live in sinful lives when we look at somebody and say, "I'm praying for you," but you never did. And you know how it is. I mean, it's kind of that church pat on the back, I'm praying for you, which means, yeah, bless your heart. Doesn't it really? I mean, how many times have you patted somebody and said, I'm praying for you, and you went on and you didn't think a word about it? You know what I'd encourage you to do? When you find somebody who's in a desperate solution, recognize they need a divine solution. Stop right there. Put your hand on their shoulder and pray with them. You say, well, Chuck, people milling everywhere. Who cares? I mean, this is a house of prayer, for goodness sake. Stop and pray. Matter of fact, let's do that right now. Just everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. I want to ask you this question today. Nobody's looking around. How many of you today need a divine solution for something in your life? Just raise your hand. I need God to step in and do, hold them high. I need God to do something special in my life. Yeah, they're everywhere. Keep them up. Lord God, today, there are people in this room who desperately need you. That there's nowhere else to turn. But God, you are faithful. You said you never slumber, you never sleep. You said that you would hear your children's prayers and you would answer them. Would you bless these folks with your best and pour out your mercy and grace on them? In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you. This lady is in this desperate situation. She needs a divine solution. And Elisha actually is bold enough to say, but what do you have? What do you have? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Now, when I was a kid, my mom bought Bama grape jelly. And it was in a jar about like that. And when you got done eating all the jelly off that pop top, you washed it, and that was your orange juice glass. You remember that? Like me and Fred Flintstone, we were like this. And I couldn't wait to get it there, so I ate a lot of grape jelly. You know, I didn't get this way eating steamed broccoli. And so, by the way, that wasn't nice to laugh at that. Now my feelings are hurt. I mean, I'm doing all I can do, wearing orange instead of red and black. It's hurting me today. It's hurting. She said, I got about that much oil. Now, to put things in perspective, in Scripture, we know that oil is a picture of the Spirit of God. Anytime you read a story about oil, you're reading about the Spirit of God. Listen to what she's saying. Elisha says, what do you have in your house? And she says, I've got a little bit of the Spirit of God. I've just got this little bit. I'm hanging on to just this little bit of God. That's all I've got is a little bit. Listen to what Elisha said. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and don't gather just a few. Now watch this. The jelly jar is this much oil. And the vessels are probably about this high and about this big around. Some of them would be this high and about that big around. But they were far bigger than that little jar of oil. And he said, go pick up all of them that you can, and don't just get a few, get a bunch of them. Now watch this, it wouldn't be unusual in that time for neighbors to have a pile of broken jars and vessels, because then when they would use them, they'd toss them out. And so these boys went and they started looking for vessels, but listen to what he said. He said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and don't just get a few, get a bunch. Now it was specific, go get empty vessels. Now watch this. They would go from house to house, and in that pile, they would find a bunch of cracked pots, and they would gather those cracked pots. And they'd take those pots, they would make sure they're empty. If they had any dust or dirt on them, pour them out, and they gathered a bunch of these vessels. Now watch this. When you're in a desperate situation, when you need a divine solution, you've got to be willing, you've got to desire, you've got to want to know that my God is able, my God will deliver. You see, God sees your problem and God hears your prayers. And in the middle of that, we have to become in devoted submission to say, I'm going to do what God told me to do. Does it make any sense to you that when she says, all I've got is a little bit of oil, and he says, go get a bunch of empty vessels. So they go to the trash heap and they gather all of these vessels. They go to trash heap after trash heap after trash heap, and they bring back all of these vessels. They may be broken, but they're empty. They may have a chip or two in them, but they're empty. They may be old and they may be dusty, but they're empty. And listen to what Elijah says them to do. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. She took the jelly jar of oil and she started pouring in that vessel about this size. Now watch this. If the oil is a picture of the Spirit of God, the vessels are a picture of you and me. Now what do we know about that? We're a bunch of crackpots, right? I mean, I want you to look around with people. Look around. Just go ahead. Look around. Go ahead. Look. I know some of y'all are too cool to look. Just go ahead and look. Yeah. You know what you see? Weirdos. They're everywhere. I mean, isn't that true? Everybody I know is weird in their own right. Like Lovegood. He's the weirdest person I know. And yet in the middle of that, you know what he says? Don't worry about whether they're cracked. Worry about whether they're empty. Don't worry if they're imperfect, but make sure they're empty. Don't worry if they've been recently cleaned and make sure that they're not just pristine. Just make sure they're empty. So they gather all these and they go in and mom starts pouring the Bama jar of jelly and she keeps pouring and the oil keeps coming. And the boy brings the second one and she keeps pouring. By the third one, her second boy is like, Mom, bam, that is so cool. Booyah. What? This is unbelievable. And she keeps pouring four, five, six. It doesn't say how many, but it was a bunch of them. She kept pouring and pouring and pouring. And I think those boys' eyes were big as saucers. And she was thinking, oh my stars, this is unstinking believable. We've got oil. But remember, the oil is a picture of the Spirit of God. In a desperate situation, we need a divine solution, but that's going to require that we have a devoted submission. We got to have a willingness to say, I'll do whatever. I know I'm a crackpot. I know I'm not clean. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not ideal. But see, here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He doesn't ask you to come to him squeaky clean. He asks you to bring all of your filth and all of your sin and all of your selfishness. Take every addiction you have. Take every hatred you hold and bring that to him because he's not on you to fix you. He promises he'll fix you. He promises that if you're an empty vessel, you're willing to come to him, not because you're perfect, but because you're willing to submit. You're willing to say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you for being risen from the dead for me. And thank you for creating a heaven for me because in this time, I'm an empty vessel. I don't know what else to do. I may be dirty. I may be cracked. I am imperfect, but I need you. And the Spirit of God answers the presence of Jesus and says, let me make you white as snow. Let me wipe away every sin, every selfishness. The scripture says he takes those and throws them as far as the east is from the west. You know why he throws them as far as the east is from the west? We have a north pole, we have a south pole, but we don't have an east and west pole. It never stops. And he takes those sins and he takes that bitterness and he takes that anger and he takes that addiction and he throws it as far as the east and the west. In other words, he gets rid of it all. And listen to what happens to her. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there's not another vessel. Now listen. So the oil ceased. Now watch this. There's no shortage of oil. There's absolutely no shortage on the power of God. There is no limitation to what Jesus can do. There is no limitation on the Spirit of God and how he wants to pour into your life and take your life and do something extraordinary with it. But all he's saying is, if you're in a desperate situation, if you know you need a divine solution, all you've got to do is be a devoted, submissive person to my word. And watch this. He makes this promise. I'll give you a definite Watch this, solution. You know, I looked at all the mess going on in Charlottesville. You know what I thought to myself? This isn't about right and wrong. This isn't about black and white. This is, you know what this is about? Sinfulness and selfishness. That's what that's about. Every solution that this world has can be found in Christ Jesus. Everything that we are wrestling with and fighting about and yapping about, all of it is succeeded by the presence of Jesus. Now look what happens. The oil ceased. Why? Because there was a limit on the vessel. There's a limited number of us that are willing to say, I'm going to surrender it all. That old hymn, I Surrender All, is a picture of what this looks like. Let go of everything in your life. The boys in the boat with Jonah, when he didn't go where he was supposed to do and the storms came, you know what they did? They started throwing junk off the boat because they thought they could fix it. When they couldn't fix it, Jonah finally said, it's me. I want to submit my life to God. I want to be all that God wanted me to be. And when he jumps in and the fish swallows him up, the storm subsides. Listen to me, friend. I know that I know that I know. In every storm that I found in my life, Jesus is not only answer, he provides more than I could have imagined. You see, when we let Jesus take that Spirit of God that is a gift that he gives us, when we surrender our life to him, we can allow him to bring us an extraordinary life. Listen to verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Listen to me, friend. You know what happened? Jesus took what once was a trash heap and turned it into a treasure. Jesus took what once was cracked and made it whole. Jesus took what was empty and filled it with him. And in that, he made the promise that you can do all things through Christ. He is desperately wanting to take whatever situation you're in, and if you're willing to come to him as an empty vessel, he wants to pour into you his Holy Spirit that you might experience the power and the goodness and the grace of God. But now watch this. You get to pick. It's not my job to tell you what you ought to think, but I would ask you, I'd plead with you, if you're in one of those situations and clearly at least a third of this room said, I need something in my life that is desperate, whatever that is, come to him with an empty vessel and watch what he does in your life. You see, this whole story comes down to this one question. Do you believe that you can fix all of the needs in this world apart from the Christ who said, without me you can do nothing and yet with me you can do everything? Or are you willing to empty the vessel and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, thanks for dying for me. Thank you for raising from the dead for me. Thank you for creating a home in heaven for me. I want to turn my life around. I want to live for you. Because when we do, what happens is we empty this vessel of ourself. We empty this vessel of our selfishness. And we say, Lord Jesus, pour your Spirit into my life that I might live, I might lead, and I might love like you. My friend, that's the prayer today. If you come here and you have a desperate need, if you have a desperate situation, my friend, just like this lady, you need a divine solution. And it will always be found in the presence of Jesus. Let's pray. Everybody I know is in one of three seasons of life. They're just coming out of a mess. They're in the middle of a mess. Or they're about to go into a mess. The scriptures say it rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Every person I know needs a divine solution. You say, well, Chuck, I want that oil. I want that power in my life. I want the goodness of God in my life. Then trust Jesus today. For the first time in your life, say, man, I'm in. I want Jesus. If you're here today and you're already a follower of Christ and you say, I'm in a mess, I just need something, I'm going to ask you in a minute, just come to this altar, get on your knees and say, Lord, I need you to do something divine. I need a solution in this life. If you've never asked Christ in your heart, I'm going to ask you when we start singing, just come right out. All it takes is one person. As a matter of fact, if you need to come pray, I'm going to ask you to come right now. All it takes is three or four people to get up and start moving this way and everybody else stop being afraid. But there's something going on in your life right now. Just get up out of your chairs. Come right now. I need a divine solution. So God, take these folks here. Would you allow them to become empty vessels to hear and receive your goodness and your grace and your Spirit? God, there are a lot of us here that came to church this morning with a dirty vessel. There are a lot of us that came to church this morning and our vessels are cracked and broken. But God, would you fill us? Would you take that power and would you pour it on us? Would you take that peace and pour it on us? Would you take your joy and pour it on us? So Jesus, in your name we ask that you'd move in these folks' hearts and lives. Lord, we know there's nothing magical about an altar, but there's something awesome about how we take and put ourselves in a position of surrender. Jesus, we trust you. We love you. Draw people unto yourself. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.